This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. All right, so on a previous episode, one of the more recent episodes here on the podcast, we discussed the idea of how creativity is to recombine and remix different ideas and different concepts and things that you've experienced in your life and combine them and come up with something new and to apply that concept to any area of your life to be more creative. And so some of you really enjoyed that and went as far as emailing me and tweeting me and sending me messages to let me know that you really enjoyed that episode. You want to hear more about creativity. And so I thought, you know what? Instead of going deep into a specific topic, on this episode, what I thought I would do is give you an overview of sorts of the books that actually developed my philosophy on creativity, that helped me develop my own mindset on what is it to be creative and how do you unleash that creativity and unlock that creativity in your work and also in other facets of your life as well. And so what I'm going to do today is break down just quickly some of the key takeaways of the 10 best creativity books that I've read. And I've read several hundred, and these are the top 10 books that I would recommend in terms of helping you become a more creative person, especially within your work world, right? Within the aspect of your domain where you work in professionally, whatever business you do, whatever job you have, whatever it is that you do for a living, these books will help you massively in terms of coming up with better ideas, new ideas, quote unquote innovation, which is a term that people throw around a lot in the professional world. And it'll just help you become someone who is known as the idea person, right? You're the go-to guy or gal that can come up with something fresh, something new, something creative, and something that nobody else has come up with before. And you'll know how to do that after having read these books or having picked up the summaries for these books, because 9 out of the 10 books that I'm going to be recommending in this episode, we've actually got the summaries available for over at getflashbooks.com. So if you want the key takeaways and you want them quick in just a couple of days, just crank them all out, listen to them or read them, we can do that for you over at getflashbooks.com. We've summarized these books and turned them into 20-minute audios or 10-page PDFs that you can download and read on the go. So with that said, let's break down some of these books. Now, before we even break them down, just real quick, personally, in terms of creativity, I thought creativity was just sort of elusive, right? Before I started reading and learning about them, I always thought that creative people like Pablo Picasso, for instance, were just blessed with some innate magical talent of some kind that most people just don't have, right? And this is how I'd rationalize why people like that, super creative people, incredibly successful creatives like Picasso and others, were just way more creative, and that I couldn't do that because I didn't have that special power. But as it turns out, I was wrong, man. Dead wrong. Kind of. You know, most people think that Picasso just kind of sat down and just started cranking out million-dollar paintings left and right. Just sat down in front of a canvas and effortlessly produced masterpieces after masterpiece all day long. But, you know, that's not how things went down. Not at all. The way Picasso actually painted was much more in-depth. He would sit down and start at the corner of the canvas with one single stroke of the brush. He had a routine, a ritual. Then he would expand from there, allowing the brush to let him transfer whatever it was that he was envisioning in his mind's eye onto the canvas. Now, sometimes he would decide to let an idea take his painting elsewhere. Other times, he'd end up painting something totally different than what he initially envisioned.
a few times he'd start the whole damn thing over again, right? Just trash the canvas and start all over. But almost every single time, he'd end up with something beautiful. He wouldn't get up until he created something beautiful. And how did he create so many of these beautiful masterpieces? Was he talented? Of course he was. Was he born with it? Maybe. But people are born with all sorts of talents that they neglect to nurture and refine and turn into skills and become the best in the world at, world class, best in class at. And that's the key. Cultivation, working to nurture those talents if you're born with them, but most of the time, they're skills that you can refine and build and become better and better and better at. You know, the person who practices every single day that may not have a natural born talent is going to beat the guy who just gets up in the morning and is like, oh yeah, I got genetics, baby, whoop, whoop, right? And, you know, doesn't work at becoming better, right? The person who doesn't have that genetic blessing, but decides to work hard and refine their skills and grow and become better and better and better and practice every single day, is going to beat that other guy in a competition if there was one, if it was a competitive sport, for instance, right? And so obviously this doesn't take into account the fact that if you're 5'1" and you're playing against LeBron James, I mean, there's a certain variance here that, within the realm of possibility. And so back to Picasso, you know, how did he make so many masterpieces? Was he talented? Of course he was. Was he born with it? Maybe he was. But maybe he also decided to practice every single day, put his nose to the grindstone and work and work and work and work and work and become a master of his craft, because people are born with all sorts of talents, right? They neglect those talents though. Most people neglect those talents. They're born with those talents, but they neglect to nurture them, to refine them, to cultivate them. And that's the key. Cultivation. Picasso cultivated his talent into mastery. He was dedicated to his craft. In other words, he did it often enough to recognize that if he went off the beaten path halfway through a painting, he could take a different route and still end up with a piece of art, something creative. So the bottom line here is that creativity, it's not magical, it's not mysterious. Creativity is like a muscle. And these 10 books that we're going to talk about today are going to show you how to build that muscle up, baby, so you can maximize your own creative potential, both personally as well as professionally. So you ready to dive in? Let's get into it, baby. Book number one is called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. This book, this is probably one of the first real creativity books that I picked up. And I read it when I was going through a tough time trying to start my business and figure things out. And it really gave me that kick in the ass I needed. Because really, what it taught me was how to break through the blocks that I was running into. I was afraid. I was scared. What are people going to think? What if I put this out there? How is it going to be accepted? Is it going to be accepted? Are people going to laugh? You know, all these things and thoughts that are going across my mind when I was first getting started, this really helped me for a couple of reasons. One of which being that it was almost like, you know, it's like your grandpa saying, look, kid, I've been through this before too. And a lot of successful people have. And you're going to be afraid. And the thing is, most people don't talk about the fear. They only talk about the success. So listen, you're not going through anything new and novel, but it's something that you're going to have to feel if you want to be successful. And he's like, and he's just kicking you in the ass left and right, just telling you, break through the blocks, man. You're going to run into it. It's okay. This is the book, The War of Art, that's going to teach you just how to break through the blocks that every creative person runs into from time to time. And by the way, you're creative no matter what you do. Even if you don't think you're creative, coming up with an idea makes you a creative person. You know, this is not limited to any specific profession or hobby. Creativity is something you absolutely need in your profession, in business, and as well as in your personal life. You need to be as creative as possible, especially in this day and age where creativity is at a premium, right? People value creativity. Anybody can do some rote task over and over and over again, right? But if you're a creative person, someone who can't be duplicated, you'll be incredibly valuable to your employer. And so The War of Art, this book, is going to teach you how to break through the blocks that every creative person, both personally as well as professionally, runs into in their lives from time to time. Creatives have got to work through the fear of failure, being their own worst critics, and lack of self-confidence. So Pressfield talks about overcoming all of these things, overcoming the resistance, procrastination, and the energy that comes from working on the things that you deem to be your true calling. He talks about making that happen. It's just like grandpa giving you a kick in the ass. So that's that book, The War of Art. I would highly recommend it if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, if you feel like you are not inspired to get up and do what you know you need to do. That's a great book to help you get that kickstart that you need. Book number two is a book called Flow by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. This is not only one of the best creativity books that I've ever read, it's one of the best books I've ever read, period. One of the best books in my library, period. And if you've ever experienced, you know, that feeling where you just totally lose track of time, you feel absolutely unstoppable, and your excellent, extraordinary, high-level quality of work is just kind of flowing out of you, effortlessly streaming out of you, that's called a flow state. That's what this book is about. You'll learn in this book the science of bringing that flow state about within your work on a regular basis. Oh, man, if you can bring yourself into flow every single day, then you will be in a state of bliss on a daily basis. You'll never be bored, or you'll rarely be bored, because you'll constantly be setting yourself up for these flow states. And just real quick before we move on to the next one, how to do it. One big key that I think a lot of people miss is they are not setting goals that are just a little bit beyond their reach. Not insane, but just a little bit beyond their reach, challenging themselves to keep things interesting and also doing something that they are exceptionally good at. So it's that thing that you're exceptionally good at plus something that's a little bit challenging and a goal that you're trying to achieve. And that combination of and constantly being on that incline, once you hit that next milestone, then you set up another one. Once you hit that next milestone, then you set up another one. And it's constantly like breaking that sort of framework down on a day-to-day basis, right? This podcast, for instance, right now, I'm feeling like I'm in flow right now. I'm getting into flow because this is, every podcast episode is challenging to a certain degree, but I'm doing something that I have put myself on a path to mastery with. I have decided that I am going to be a master communicator for the rest of my life, constantly getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better. That's my profession. That is my craft. That is what I do. I inspire others with words. And so that is something that I enjoy doing thoroughly. And so I'm willing to challenge myself every single day, set up another sort of obstacle for myself to overcome, because I know that I'm going to get better every time I set up another obstacle, every time I practice, every time I do something. And that also applies to writing, that also applies to business. And so that's what flow is. And if you want to learn more about that, pick up the book summary or get the actual book in and of itself. It's a deep read, but it's a good one. Book number three is called Lateral Thinking by Edward de Bono. Now, this is a book that's lesser known. It was never really a bestseller. It was never really popular. But, you know, it's one of those books that I thought was just absolutely phenomenal. I'll tell you why in a second. But, you know, one quick thing here. Just because a book wasn't a bestseller doesn't mean that it's not valuable. In fact, it might put you ahead because so few other people have read the book. You found a gem. Right, so let's talk about this book. What's a key takeaway here? For most people, the concept of creativity, it's sort of like hitting the lottery. Right, there's a fat chance it'll happen today, but maybe next time, maybe tomorrow it'll happen. Maybe tomorrow I'll be more creative. Maybe tomorrow I'll be in flow. Maybe tomorrow I'll have a better idea. And it's great to be optimistic, but in lateral thinking, Edward de Bono basically shows us how to align our thinking in a way that actually helps us become more creative. Right? While everyone else is trying to dig the same hole in the same place, while everyone else is doing the same thing over and over and over again, while everyone else is playing in that playground over there, this book shows you how to dig a new hole somewhere different, how to build your own playground, how to go play somewhere else, how to dominate your field creatively. Lateral thinking. Book number four is called Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. Now, this is a great book. Excellent book. It's a book really about creative permission. It's about the permission to stop hiding behind your own shadow. It's about the permission to start creating something that actually matters. And it's about giving yourself permission to stand on the shoulders of the giants who came before you and take advantage of their great ideas, right? To pounce off of that foundation that so many people, creative people, have built for you already. And now the idea here, as the title sort of insinuates, is not to necessarily steal other people's work, right? So don't do that, right? Stealing is bad. Don't steal other people's work. Just take bits and pieces from other people's work and make something of your own out of that. I would advise you or suggest to you, if you really want to take this idea to heart and utilize it, it'll be huge for you, by the way, in terms of your professional advancement. Make a list of 10 or 15 people that you find inspiring, that you aspire to be like in certain domains of your life, whether that's in business or personally or professionally or whatever area of your life. If somebody's got the perfect, you know, you think maybe that they've got a phenomenal marriage or relationship, or and you want to do that too, then that might be something you want to talk to them about so you can learn more from them. If somebody has their business together and it's just top notch, right, then you might want to write that person down if you want to improve in that area, and also gather another nine people that are also doing well in that area so that you can sort of see the patterns. Now, the idea here isn't necessarily to copy other people's work, but rather to copy the way they see their work. You get it? Not copy the work itself, but copy the way in which they approach their work, the perspective behind it, the mindset behind it. How did they put this stuff together in the first place? You know, how did they think about the world? That's what you'll develop if you can get this sort of, create a list for yourself of the top 10 or 15 people that you aspire to be like in any domain of life. It can be anything, but then grab that list, either talk to those people, research those people, learn more about them, read their books, and find patterns to learn how they think. So that's book number four. Book number five is The Creative Habit by Twyla Tharp. Now, Twyla Tharp is one of the world's greatest choreographers. I'd never heard of her before until I started looking into creativity books, and this is one that has had a lot of acclaim. And so I thought, okay, let me pick this one up and I'll read it. And it's fascinating. I don't know the first thing about dance. I suck at dancing. I have two left feet. It took my wife literally 6 weeks to teach me how to do a 2-minute wedding dance when we got married. So, you know, I don't know a single thing about dance, but I do know that this lady knows a lot about creativity, and she knows how to really drive those ideas home because she's so visceral in her writing. And essentially the core takeaway from this book, The Creative Habit, is that creativity really is exactly that. It's a habit. Right? If we want to go from creating, producing, to from doing just ordinary work to creating or producing and doing extraordinary work, then what we need to do is develop the habits that'll help make that a reality, right? That is, the rituals, the routines that you run on a daily basis, they ramp you up to success. Right? You don't want to think about all the stuff that you need to do every single day, those basic things. The more decisions that you will have already pre-made, in other words, those routines, right? For instance, instead of saying, oh, am I going to go to the gym today? Am I not going to go to the gym? That's a decision. And every decision you make has an energy consequence. And you don't want to be thinking about all those little things because they're going to drain you from your energy. So the key here is that to sort of already have those decisions in place, okay? At the end of the week, you already decided, okay, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days this week and I'm going to take off two. So that way you don't have to think about it. Boom, you get up, you hit it. Or you get out of work, you go straight there. You don't think about, oh, am I tired? Am I not? This and that. I'll skip it today. I'll go tomorrow. No, you already decided. Boom, you go, right? Are you going to go for a walk today or are you not going to go for a walk? Are you going to read today or are you not going to go read today? Are you going to do this today or you're not going to go do this? No, you already decide those routines. And that allows you to focus on that big thing that you want to do. That's a big thing she drives home in this book, is that get all that little stuff decided for yourself already. Just figure it out. Figure out whatever systems you want to put in place so that you can use all of those, all that energy that you have on laser focusing on your craft rather than making all these stupid little decisions on the periphery that you could have already decided on already. You know, that drains a lot of energy, and a lot of us don't realize that, but it does drain a lot of energy. If you're doing something different every single day and you don't have a habit or routine for the way you work your life in order, then I'm telling you right now that you're not as effective and productive and creative as you can be. So that's book number five. Book number six is called The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle. Now, in The Talent Code, Daniel Coyle, who is a journalist and reporter, I actually interviewed him on the podcast a couple of years ago, and he is, again, a reporter that brings us this scientific approach to creativity. And in the book, he tells us about this neural insulator in our brains called myelin, which some people, some scientists and neurologists actually consider to be the key to skill acquisition of every kind, of being more creative. On an extraordinary level, right? Genius level creativity is based on this stuff called myelin. And of course, if you want to level up your creative output, you've got to level up your skills, right? And so here's how he puts it in the book. Every human skill, whether it's playing baseball or playing Bach, is created by chains of nerve fibers carrying a tiny electrical impulse, basically a signal traveling through a circuit. Myelin's vital role is to wrap those nerve fibers the same way that rubber insulation wraps a copper wire, making the signal stronger and faster by preventing the electrical impulses from leaking out. So when we fire our circuits in the right way, for instance, right? When we practice swinging that bat or playing that note or making that business call, that sales call, starting that meeting, starting that presentation, when we practice that, right, over and over and over again, our myelin in our brain responds by wrapping layers of insulation around that neural circuit. And each new layer adds a little bit more skill, a little bit more speed, a little bit more accuracy, a little bit more mastery, skill, creativity to that thing that you're doing because you're firing off the same sort of neurological pathways over and over and over again. This is the idea behind practice makes perfect. And really one great quote that he has in the book is, it's not practice that makes perfect. Practice makes myelin and more myelin makes perfect. So the thicker the myelin gets in your brain, the better it insulates. And that's the key here. You want to thicken it as much as possible. Wrap as many of those things around it. And the faster and more accurate your movements, your thoughts are going to become. You're going to get sharp if you can build this funny sounding thing called myelin, because it's responsible for a lot of creative excellence. And creative excellence in sports, in business, in art, in everything. And if you want to achieve this creative excellence as well, then you've got to be growing myelin on a regular basis. The best way to do it, 10x the amount of practice you put into becoming the best at what you do. If you're in sales, call 10x the amount of people you normally do, and you'll naturally get better and more creative as a result. If you're a writer, 10x the amount of words you write per day, and you'll naturally get better and more creative as a result. You see, set goals that are just beyond your reach so that you've got no choice but to level up your skills in order to achieve them. Because if you set higher goals for yourself, stretch goals, and you keep on inching those stretch goals up as you get better and better and better, then you've got no choice. You're going to have to level up your actions in order to get closer to achieving those goals. But if you set normal, boring, basic, achievable goals for yourself, then hey, man, you know, if you take enough action to achieve those goals, hey, maybe you'll feel better about yourself for that day. But will you have achieved as much as if you demanded more of yourself? If you said, hey, I want to do this, I'm going to reach for the moon, and it's okay if I land amongst the stars, I don't necessarily hit it. Rather than feeling bad for yourself, hey, you probably would have gone farther if you shot for the moon than if you just, you know, shot for a few feet in front of you. You get what I'm saying? So challenge yourself and set goals that are a little bit beyond reach, as well as those stretch goals that we just talked about, and you'll build more myelin. And when you build more myelin, you become more skilled and you become sharper, you become more creative. Book number 7, Creativity. It's called Creativity by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. Now, this is the same guy who wrote the book Flow that I mentioned earlier. And in this book, Csikszentmihalyi basically just schools us on how to leverage these flow states that we mentioned a second ago to take our creativity specifically to another level. And in the book, he just discusses what he learned after interviewing 91 of the world's greatest creative professionals from a wide array of professional endeavors. When we're talking about astronauts, writers, philosophers, and everybody in between. And just a couple of big ideas from that book. Creative people, number one, have a thirst to constantly continue learning about their subject of interest. You never have achieved something. You've never become, you know, the best because you're always trying to get better and better and better, right? It's kind of like knowing that perfection is impossible, but pursuing it anyway. That's the beautiful thing about the greatest achievers, creatives, and just really the most extraordinary people on earth. We all know that perfection is impossible, but if you choose something that you want to do and you shoot for perfection anyway, knowing that you're going to be chasing it for the rest of your life and you enjoy doing that because you love that chase, that journey so very much, that you're willing to continue trying to get better and better and better at whatever it is that you do, your craft, that's beautiful. I mean, that's a recipe for happiness right there. And so writers, philosophers, everyone in between, Csikszentmihalyi has basically interviewed them to see what are sort of the common things, what are the commonalities amongst these creative professionals, and how can he synthesize those? That's what he does in this book. And number two, what he realized, aside from the fact that they continue learning, they always want to grow, is that they never get sick of practicing the fundamentals. And they know that they're going to continue practicing those fundamentals. Even if it gets boring, they don't let themselves get too bored by it. They always want to get better. Remember what we just mentioned? They're always on this pursuit to perfection, even though it's impossible to be perfect. But they know that if they practice those fundamentals, they're going to get better and better and better, right? Especially in those key clutch moments, right? There's this old story about that coach whose name I can't remember right now. He was a basketball coach. And he basically was known for making all of his all-stars. I believe Michael Jordan was actually in college under him, this coach whose name I can't remember right now. And he would make, you know, MJ and all these other star basketball players get behind the free throw line and say, hey, kid, I know you were number one in high school in terms of free throws, but right now what I want you to do is bust out 500 free throws in a row right now. And the kid would be like, I'm already good at free throw. I'm the best at free throws, man. What you talking about? And he'd be like, all right, that's great. Get behind the free throw line and you've got 499 more free throws to shoot. And the reason why you need to do this is because you need to get so good at it that in those key clutch moments when you need to hit that buzzer beater, You can do it. You don't even have to think about it. That's actually a great example of somebody building myelin, as per that previous book we were talking about, The Talent Code. So they never get sick of practicing the fundamentals. That's the second big thing that Csikszentmihalyi learned from these creative professionals that he interviewed and profiled in this book. And finally, they know how to connect seemingly unrelated ideas together in order to create something new. So those are the top three things that I took away from Creativity by Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, the original author also of Flow, another book here on this list. All right, book number 8, Daily Rituals by Mason Curie. Now this is, by the way, the only book we don't have summarized for you over at getflashbooks.com. If you want any of the other books in either text or audio form, the summary versions, you can pick them up over at getflashbooks.com. But this is, I should say, is the only one that we don't have summarized, simply because it's more of like a coffee table book than anything else. And again, it's called Daily Rituals. And in the book, it's really cool because what this guy does is he takes sort of 250 of the greatest modern day thinkers, people like Maya Angelou, people like Ayn Rand, people like Benjamin Franklin and Henry Ford, and all of these great thinkers and writers, and people like Freud, for instance, all sorts of people, Kafka, Martha Graham, George Orwell, a bunch of different people from different fields, many of them writers and novelists, but some of them just philosophers and thinkers. It's a fascinating book. Even Carl Jung is profiled in it. And what he does is he takes all these people and he devotes a page or two to their daily rituals, as the title entails. And it's so funny and cool because you see not only patterns, but you also see all of the deviations from what you would think is good advice about success. Because there's one guy in there who's, I think it was W.A.W. Auden or something, who was a novelist who I'd never heard of until I picked up this book, which probably speaks to how little fiction I read, because all I read, my library is filled with just straight nonfiction books. But in any case, this guy, he would just get up in the morning and pop cocaine before he would start writing. That's what he would do. That was his routine. He would take it like it was they were vitamins. So you know, there's a lot of funny things in here also, and a lot of odd habits that some of these people have. But it also shows a few different patterns throughout these people. Of course, none of them are all exactly the same. But a big thing that I got from this book is that, you know, no recipe for success is the same. You can design your own path, right? You can look at some of these great people and learn from them and even model some of them. Don't model that guy who pops cocaine every morning or snorts cocaine, but, you know, learn from these people and also then sort of refine their ideas and their routines and their daily rituals into something that is unique to you, that works for you. Make it personal for yourself. And so this is just an awesome, awesome little book, Daily Rituals. I'll link all this stuff up, the book summaries and everything over at deanbokhari.com, deanbokhari.com, or at meaningfulhq.com, or also at getflashbooks.com. So you can go to any three of those places if you want to get the show notes and resources for this specific episode. I will say the first place that it will be up and published is going to be at deanbokhari.com, deanbokhari.com. But we've still got two books left, don't we? Book number 9 is Creativity, Inc., written by Ed Catmull. Now, Ed Catmull is the co-founder of Pixar. Pixar Animation, Pixar Pictures. I believe these are the people who have made some of the greatest animated films in history. And so they know a thing or two about creativity. And they also know a thing or two about getting that creative work out there in the world. And so this book really is about the intersection of where creativity meets commerce, where creativity applies to your professional life, business, and things of that nature. And this book, the key takeaway for me was that I walked away with after reading this book was about igniting higher levels of creativity within an organization, like within my team, my employees. And what I've learned was that they are not my employees. They work with me. We work together. Rather than command and control, lead people in a way that makes them feel important and genuinely believe that, right? I learned that I could inspire my employees to become better, to become more creative by fostering and cultivating an environment that was actually conducive to creativity. That means just busting down any of those things that prevent people and block them from being creative. Like, there's so many companies in which employees are just afraid to even talk about their ideas because they don't think that they're going to be heard, that they don't think they don't think their ideas are actually even going to be listened to, that they're just going to fall on deaf ears or they're going to get laughed at by their manager, their boss, or whoever. And so they just keep it to themselves. Maybe when they first started, they would be all gung-ho and excited and start talking about their ideas. It's such a common thing. But then eventually they realize, okay, they'll say, you know, nobody's listening to what I've got to say. Nobody's listening to these creative ideas that I've come up with that I'm trying to get out there, that I'm trying to promote and tell people about. And this is such a common thing, especially when people get started with a new company, right? They start a job, they start a new career, they're all gung-ho and excited. They've got all these fresh new ideas, but nobody listens to them. They keep on trying to share, they email, they talk about them, but nobody listens. They just get ignored because they're new. And one thing that he does in this book, Creativity Inc., is he invites those newbies to come to him. This is a co-founder. And he's like, look, I want to hear your ideas. These are fresh people coming into the company. I want to hear what you've got to say because you probably are looking at this thing from a whole new perspective. And I would love to hear that perspective. Beautiful ideas about how to foster creativity in your organization. In this book, Creativity Inc., you can pick up the book or the summary. I'll link them all up for you in the show notes. And the final book is book number 10, The Originals, written by Adam Grant. The Originals by Adam Grant. Now this book, The Actionable Insight, the big core key takeaway for me was this. Regardless of what type of work you do, the key to creative genius lays in creating constantly, consistently, and in very high quantity. It's all about volume. Those who create the most work increase the odds of creating the best work. Those who create the most work increase their odds of creating their best work. Again, high quantity leads to high quality. Doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Maya Angelou, for instance, wrote 165 poems. Picasso created over 5,800 different types of works and 12,000 drawings on top of that, and that's only the stuff we know about. Einstein wrote 248 publications, published papers, high output. This is high output activity right here, and it relates directly to high creativity. So you want to be more creative? 10x that output. Get it up there. High activity. Do it every day. You don't even have to show your work every day, but practice it every day. Do it every day. And so that will help you become more creative. It'll help you become more extraordinary at your craft. And the time when the most work is produced is often, by the way, the same time that the most original work is produced. That's when you're going to get that stuff that marks your name, etches your name into the history of your field, or at least skyrockets you to a whole new level of success. So those are my top 10 highly recommended creativity books, my top 10 creativity books. If you want to become more creative, really, if you want to just become extraordinary at your craft, these 10 books, I would highly recommend that you pick up. So you can pick up any of the book summaries if you want to get the core concepts and the actionable insights from all of these books in just a couple of days or even one day. If you're really ambitious, you can go to getflashbooks.com, get signed up for a buck, and start cranking them all out. Download the audiobook summaries and listen to them on your way to work. They're only about 20 minutes apiece. Or you can just crank through the 10-page PDFs to get the core concepts if you prefer that instead. But either way, you can sign up for a buck if you like it. Wonderful. Stay with us and continue the membership. If not, just cancel. No problem. No questions asked. You can do that anytime. But it's only a buck to get started, so I welcome you to do that. Or if you just want to pick up the books, then if you really want to take a deep dive into each one and take your time, then I will link all that stuff up for you over at getflashbooks.com or at deanbukhari.com or at meaningfulhq.com. Until next time, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Go out there, be more creative, and keep on living like you give a damn.